Welcome to Big Blend Radio, where we celebrate variety and how it adds spice to quality of life. Welcome to the Big Daily Blend, everybody. Today we are celebrating roses. February 7th typically is Rose Day. And this is all just before, you know, a week before Valentine's Day, when people start to think about giving roses so that you don't have to do it just on Valentine's Day. And you also don't have to give America's national flower. Yes, that's right. The rose is our national flower to those that you love romantically. Of course, red roses. Now that is the color of true love. It's a color of passion. And it really does give the message, hey, baby, I love you. Now, if you want to give maybe a friend some roses, yellow roses are a good idea. Yellow roses represent friendship, optimism, joy, power. So maybe it's a colleague you're going to give these roses to, and also cheer. So if someone is in the hospital, you may want to think about giving them some yellow roses or even pink roses. Pink roses are also symbols of gratefulness, gentleness, appreciation, and admiration. Now, white roses are the color for purity and peace. We know about the dove and the white rose. So that may be something if you're reconciling with a friend, a loved one, a family member, that may be one to do. It also represents innocence with the purity and loyalty. So that is usually the rose you see at weddings or even engagement parties. So white, yellow, pink, and red, but the orange one, well, that's a naughty rose. Ooh, hoo, hoo. That might be something, well, you look that up. I didn't make it up. But orange roses are kind of the naughty rose, but they are beautiful, right? The tea rose is, I think, one of my favorites. And that is also a symbol of peace going back into the world wars. So that's a whole other story that we'll get onto in another day. But today is really about giving roses. So this whole week, let's look at giving roses to friends, loved ones, colleagues, and just adding some cheer into the world and letting people we know that we love them. Some other ways of showing love and care is to create a music playlist. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for some rose-themed music so you can listen on Spotify or YouTube. So check that out. And speaking of links in the show notes, there's also recipes and cooking. You know, our national flower is also edible. So we've got two recipes that are rose-themed that are linked in the show notes. We've got one is from Ruth Milstein, who's on our show every third Sunday, and she has a recipe for edible flowers and rose petal jam. How cool is that? And then Ruth Andrus, she is an innkeeper of Leonard at Logan House, a bed and breakfast in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And when we stayed there, she made these amazing apple roses. She used apples and turned them into roses, and it is a delicious, sweet, and very impressive treat. So that link is also in there. You know, as Nancy and I travel the country on our Love Your Parks tour, we visited many rose gardens, many gardens with rose gardens, like botanical gardens. So we've also listed in the show notes some destinations, also from other travel writers like travel writer Debbie Stone, who went to the Chicago Botanical Gardens. Jean Reed Park in Tucson, Arizona has a beautiful rose garden. San Benito County in Central California, also in Central California, San Benito County has gardens all over and roses everywhere. But in Central California, in just outside Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks, is Woodlake Botanical Garden, and they have tons of rose plants. I mean, it's just amazing. So I'll put those links in the show notes as well. Some of them have videos, some of them have articles and interviews. And speaking of destinations, another thing that comes to mind is some of the bed and breakfasts that we've been to on our tour are rose themed. So Rose Vine Inn in Tyler, Texas. Tyler, Texas is also a rose capital. It is. They have an amazing rose garden there to visit. Tyler, Texas is in East Texas. It's a beautiful historic destination with beautiful lakes, a wonderful state park. And we stayed at the Rose Vine Inn. I highly recommend it. They have great food, great company, beautiful garden as well. And of course, the Rose Vine Inn, named after the gardens that are just down the road from them, Bed and Breakfast. So link to them with their interview and write up about them. It's also in the show notes, along with The Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast. Yesterday, we aired our latest episode of Adventures in Asheville show with them. We do this every first Tuesday. Steve and Karen Wilson become very good friends, and we see them every time we go to North Carolina. And they do have roses, yes, in their garden. In fact, they have a certified wildlife habitat. So it is a beautiful destination, a Victorian manor in the heart of the Montford Historic District in Asheville, North Carolina. So links with them so you can hear more about their beautiful property and also their name, The Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast. Okay, also, wait, you know what? There's I'm going to put some links in from Glenn Burrows over in England. He's written stories about just the amazing, beautiful gardens in England with these castles and, you know, manors, very historic estates. So I'll put that link in there as well. Glenn owns Norfolk Tours in England. He's on our shows all the time. Every fourth Saturday, you can hear him here on Big Blend Radio. But speaking of interviews, we are going to go into the vault, the Big Blend vault. As we travel the country, like I said, we go to these gardens, and two are very significant that we're going to re-air. And in fact, I think even when we were, these two interviews are over 10 years old, so you know things may change. People and places change, so same people may not be there. Anything can change up a little bit, but you're going to get the gist of these two very, very special gardens. The first one is Amanda Figlio. We met her when we went to the American Rose Society gardens. They have the Gardens of the American Rose Center, and this is for the Rose Society, this is really celebrating the rose being America's, you know, flower. And this is a destination in Shreveport, Louisiana. Shreveport, Louisiana is also part of the Jefferson Highway. We didn't know that when we went there, but they are. And the Jefferson Highway runs from Winnipeg, Canada, all the way down to New Orleans, Louisiana. And it was started in 1915 to promote tourism through North Carolina. It was one of our very first vacation routes. In fact, it's older than Route 66. It's also going through a whole revival. So we do a show every fourth Thursday dedicated to the Jefferson Highway. And I think it's very appropriate that we re-air this interview, even though it's a little old, just so you can hear about the gardens, how many roses they have. I think they have over 60,000 rose bushes. No joke. They've gone through some trial and tribulations because of hurricanes and things like that. But it is definitely a destination if you're doing this historic highway. And also this year is a big deal because in April, the conference for the Jefferson Highway Association, which everyone is invited to, will be taking place in Alexandria, Louisiana, which is just down the road from the Rose Garden. We first found out about the Rose Garden when we were in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Natchitoches is also on the historic Jefferson Highway. In fact, our friend Arlene is the one who got us involved in this Jefferson Highway project, and now it's like a giant rabbit hole for us. We love it. And Natchitoches is part of this sociability caravan where people go and like basically a road trip together through these parts of Louisiana to the conference. So the Rose Garden is definitely something to check out if you're doing this. And if you're not going to the conference, definitely go anyway. So check that out. Go to jeffersonhighway.org to learn more about the Jefferson Highway and this tour. But this is just an incredible destination. And also go to Natchitoches.com. That's Natchitoches. Natchitoches.com. It's home to the Cane River Creole National Historical Park, the Cane River National Heritage Area. Is part of the El Camino Real de los Tejas National Historic Trail. Obviously, the Jefferson Highway. In fact, they have their own park, and they have beautiful roses everywhere, too. So go to Natchitoches and eat a meat pie. Okay, so the other interview we're going to re-air again over 10 years ago is with Dorothy DeVere. Her family owns what is known as Tombstone's Shady Lady. This happens to be the world's largest rose bush, and it spans over 9,000 square feet. It's a Lady Banksia, and it is tall. It is massive. It is actually held up. The trunk is 18 feet in circumference. Standing under it is amazing. We visited in summer. I think we did that with both places, actually. Yeah, it was in the middle of summer. Tombstone, Arizona, you know, it's the OK Corral, and the old West shootouts happened out there. And it's a very historic town in southeast Arizona. We encourage going there. It's fun. But this rose tree is absolutely incredible. It's part of the Ripley's Believe It or Not list. And so check it out. We've also got the links for both of these places in the show notes. So thank you for tuning in. We wish you all a happy Rose Day. Don't forget, check the show notes, whether you're listening on YouTube or Spotify or Apple or anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. And thank you for joining us. Happy Rose Day and happy Valentine's Day week as well.
Hey, Nancy, we are exploring off the beaten path, really. We're right near the El Camino National Historical Trail, also near the Cane River National Historical Park in Natchitoches, but today we're actually in Shreveport at the American Rose Center, where you're going to find some amazing roses. It's beautiful here.
Oh, it is. It's like a forest with roses in it.
I know. It's like English.
It's a park. And,
yeah. It is a park.
Like
it's a theme park.
It's a park.
And we're also here with Amanda Filio. And Amanda, this is an incredible garden. I mean, is this the largest rose garden?
It is. We are actually the largest garden in America dedicated solely to roses.
How many roses do you think we've seen today?
Well, you have seen more than 20,000 rose bushes today.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm feeling it. It's a little warm out.
It is warm and humid.
It's beautiful, though. We saw a lot of knockouts, which I think a lot of people are familiar with.
They are.
But a lot of different varieties, like Winchester Cathedral. It's one of my favorites. And then you had New Dawn.
Yes, we have New Dawn blooming. We also had Lady Banks climbing. She wasn't in bloom today, but she was gorgeous anyway.
And then what was the one rose you were telling us about that... Is it the Peggy Martin?
Peggy Martin, yes. She is a survivor. She actually survived Katrina, the hurricane.
Wow. Yes. Now, I heard that some of your roses survived a tornado.
We did. We had a tornado a little over a year ago, and it was an F1, I believe, came directly through the gardens. Some roses were damaged and destroyed. We replaced them, but a lot of the others are coming back. Roses are very hardy plants, and they are surviving.
And how did the center itself handle everything?
We are still rebuilding. We had to replace some structures, some roofs and things. And we did have hailstorms come in after and do a little bit more damage. Mother Nature is fickle, but we are rebuilding. And we really want the community to know that we're trying, we're working. Mm-hmm. We only have so much manpower, but we're getting there.
So there's support to come visit. I mean, it's beautiful anyway, regardless.
Yes, I mean, it's a great green space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then plus the added benefit of roses blooming.
And you've got picnic benches so people can come hang out.
Yes, and we have a playground for children, swing, set, slide.
It's cool. And you've got water features, sundials everywhere.
Sculptures.
And you've got a church.
We do. Well, we have a little chapel, the Hartner Chapel, where people can get married.
Very. I can see this would be a beautiful place to get married. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we offer indoor and outdoor weddings, also large receptions. You can even have your parties for your office out here or your meetings.
I think, anybody getting married that is a rose lover, I don't care where you live in the world, you should just come here and do it.
I think this is a good place for a gentleman to take his bride-to-be here to propose.
Right.
We actually, I have a great story. We do Christmas in Roseland every year, and we had a couple come out, and he planned it in advance, called us, told us he wanted to do this. He came and proposed to his fiance during Christmas in Roseland. It was beautiful. We actually had two proposals that night. We had a Marine who was in town proposed to his girlfriend as well that night.
See, this is a spot for that.
It is.
Just saying, and Valentine's Day is coming. Not really, it's hot now, but I mean, I just think my mind's already ahead of coming back here. Just on the tour we did with you, Amanda, Nancy and I have already decided to come back to Shreveport, and everyone, Shreveport is in the northwest corner of Louisiana, right?
Yes,
the northwest.
Correct.
I just drive and, hopefully get to where we're supposed to go. But it's a beautiful area. I don't think people who have never been to Louisiana would expect the hill country and to see so many pine trees. I think that's something, when we talk to friends that were, hey, we're in Louisiana now, they're like, are you just sitting out in swamps and gator land? And I'm like, well, we've seen some swamps and bayous.
And we've seen some gators.
But there's a lot of water, and the trees out here are incredible.
We do. We have a lot of forest land around, and we also have lakes, not swamps. We have some large lakes out here, and we boating, fishing. Mm-hmm.
You have incredible bird life. Mm-hmm. If anybody out there that is a birder that hasn't been here, you're missing out big time.
I got to give a big shout out on this to Chris and Teresa over on Rose Chat Radio, and Chris, the redneck rosarian out in Alabama. But he said, "Oh, you're in Louisiana. You've got to go to the Rose Center." And this is called the Rose Center for a reason, because this is part of the American Rose Society, or this is the headquarters, right?
Yes, we are the headquarters, and we have been here for 40 years in Shreveport.
And how old is the society?
The society was created in 1892.
Wow.
Wow.
So if you want to do the math on that.
No, I'm blown.
Wow.
But we were started in Washington, D.C. Then we were offered gardens in Hershey, Pennsylvania. We then later moved to Columbus, Ohio, part of their gardens. And then a delegation from Shreveport came to the society and said, you know, we have this land and we really want you to come down and be a part of this Shreveport community. And so they donated 118 acres to the American Rose Society.
That's a beautiful spot for it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first time we had ever owned land as a society. So now we have our headquarters, and 60 acres of the land is dedicated to gardens.
That's awesome. Now, you also have trial gardens here, which is the first thing we went out and looked with you, is these are trial gardens, and it's not for nurseries as such. We've been to a lot of trial gardens that are actual nurseries, but not necessarily. These are people growing or hybridizing. Yes. I always said they're making their own roses.
They are. They're making their own roses. These are amateur hybridizers, actually. So they, you know, might be someone in their backyard hybridizing some roses, and they send them here to test. Mm-hmm. So we do a 2-year trial for amateur hybridizers, and we also do a 3-year trial for minis.
Wow, that's amazing.
So it takes time to actually get these.
Yes, and we have master gardeners and consulting rosarians come up periodically during the year, and they rate the roses and go through and have this whole evaluation that we do for these amateur hybridizers.
So they're looking for plants that are maybe more pest resistant and more fragrant, possibly. What are the, what's the criteria?
They really look for bloom, how many times it blooms, how well the flower blooms, you know, just the form, the whole shape of the plant itself. They look for disease resistance. You know, if it needs too much work, it might not win an award. So, and they really look at the color too. You know, it might open as a color and then fade to another one. So that might make it interesting. Mm. And then fragrance is always a plus.
Now, you also have an area that's for tea roses, right?
For hybrid teas. We did Easy Tea hybrid tea trials with the...
Do you have t-shirts with this? Like a hybrid tea.
We do not. That's a good idea. I need to do a t-shirt line. But we actually worked with LSU Ag Center.
Oh.
And they did the trials for Easy Tea hybrid teas. Hybrid teas are the flowers you see at the florist. Everyone wants that perfect bloom.
Yeah.
And they're harder to grow. And so we did a trial to see, you know, okay, what hybrid teas can just anyone grow?
Mm.
So these are very disease-resistant roses that are hybrid teas. Easy to grow.
So when people come here, you can go on your own walk and explore on your own, or can someone go on an actual tour with someone to kind of guide them around like you did with us?
Yes, we offer... It is a walking tour. You can do a walking tour. You can have a guided walking tour, which we do charge for, or you can do a cart tour. It seats seven, and we can take you around, drive you around the gardens, give you tours.
Fun.
This is, you know, and the rose is our American flower. And, you know, that's the one thing, you know, we're talking to Chris about that over on Rose Chat Radio. He's been airing our interviews as well. He started this on us going across the country with roses. We're in national parks, but it's like, hey, well, you know, the rose is an American flower. So we've been doing interviews on roses, and him and Teresa over in Rose Chat have been nice and airing those as well. But, you know, you just don't think you're going to go to the actual society without someone knocking on the head, go and do it. How did the rose actually become the like the American flower.
The national flower.
Yeah,
the national floral emblem. Mm. Some members and the president of the society went to the president at the time and said, hey, you know, we want the rose to like, really be the emblem. And, I mean, they did. They made it happen. They had it signed in as the national floral emblem.
So if you want to be a really good patriot, you must come to the Rose Center.
Yes, you must.
I would think everybody should come mm-hmm. here, especially the members, you know, or people who are growing roses in your garden. Come out here, mm-hmm. have a look, and go back and... You'll want to buy more roses.
Well, what I like is, you know, you think of the societies, and that's something I just didn't understand until we mm-hmm. got here. It's like, oh, you actually have this whole garden that you get to go and explore. A lot of times you have in your nonprofits, and you're getting things in the mail, and that's it. So
yes.
How many members do you have in the society itself? Because I think they should all come here.
Oh, my goodness. I can't give you a number off the top of my head. I mean, we have thousands of members.
And they're around the world?
Yes, around the world, uh-huh. mainly in the United States with our, you know, we have about 300 mm-hmm. local societies
wow.
that are affiliated with the American Rose Society.
A lot of people.
We have, you know, members in England and Australia because we are part of the World Federation of Rose Societies as mm-hmm. well. So we do. We have, and a lot of Canadian members.
Oh, very cool. So this is definitely a destination for all rose lovers, garden lovers, bird lovers,
just flower,
travelers to come
flower
and
learn. Lovers.
Yeah.
You know?
And for kids, too. You know, do you do any events throughout the year that, you know, I know you were talking about Christmas. Do you mm-hmm. do any events throughout the year that even kids can come and learn a little bit?
Yes. Actually, I mean, we have Easter.
Mm-hmm.
We bring kids out and do Easter egg hunts in the rose gardens.
Cool.
We offer ghouls in the gardens. Come dress
ghouls.
Up. Yes, cool. For Halloween, have fun with the roses.
And you have that little train.
Yes, we have a train, the Roseland Express, so you can ride the train.
Cool.
And also at Christmas, you can take photos with Santa.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, you were talking about bug houses. They're doing some kind of thing with bug houses.
Yes, we have a Green Thumb seminar. We hold it about 4 times a year.
Hmm.
And so the last seminar we had was bug hotels. So it was the good, the bad, and the ugly on bugs. Talking about beneficial insects.
Nice.
And so having a bug hotel in your garden or, you know, even mm-hmm. in a large garden, having a couple of them will attract all sorts of insects. But beneficials will, you know, get rid of the bad insects. Then you have beneficials to pollinate your garden.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a win-win.
And you get more birds.
Yes. More birds. Oh,
that's cool.
That's one thing you have a lot of here, too. It's the birds, the cardinals. We were looking at those. And mm-hmm. so that's, to me, you've got a nice balance for people to learn about when they come out here. So how do people keep in touch with the society and even learn about coming to the gardens? What's the best website?
ARS.org or rose.org.
Okay.
They both take you to our website. We also have a Facebook page. We are on Twitter. We're on Pinterest. You know, we're
get Rosie,
Flickr.
Rosie Media.
Yes. You know, if you go to rose.org, we link to mm-hmm. all of our social media mm-hmm. sites. So we do have information on the American Rose Society and on the gardens of the American Rose Center.
Well, cool.
Excellent.
We can't wait to come back. I think it's going to be in your convention time, right?
Hopefully that is October 15th through 19th. It is Roses in the Piney Woods. It'll be held in Tyler,
nice.
Texas.
So which is only an hour from you, right?
It is. It's only an hour from the
so
gardens.
We need to go there.
Yes, you need to go there, especially during the Texas Rose Festival, which has a parade, and they have a Rose Queen. It's all about roses. And
wow.
then, you know, during our convention, we're actually going to come back to Shreveport for our 40th anniversary barbecue bash.
Hey, barbecue. It's all
and
good.
Roses.
Barbecue and
barbecue
roses.
And roses.
One last thing. People coming into Shreveport that may not have ever been here before, do you have any nearby airports? Where, you know, what I want to talk about what the visitor experience is here. Because you were mm-hmm. also talking about a riverfront, which we
yes.
haven't done yet.
Yes. You know, we are probably only 5 minutes from the airport. We're a major mm-hmm. hub. And, you
okay.
know, it only takes 25 minutes to fly from Dallas. So if you
oh,
want to
wow.
connect through
really?
Dallas, we're just a hop, skip, and jump mm. from Dallas. So you can come in, and I-20 comes mm-hmm. through Shreveport. That's a major corridor of the South. And so we're on one end, and about 15 minutes, you can be downtown at our riverfront, where actually we had an artist, the city had an artist come in and build these amazing roses in metal that light up on the riverfront. So that's something to see.
It's a rosy city.
It sounds like it. We need to go to the riverfront.
Okay, let's go there now.
Let's go.
There's casinos, I heard.
There are. We have riverboat casinos.
With uh-oh. Roses on them. No, I just don't know. We need a rose game. Ding, ding, ding.
Sounds like Bloody Mary time to me.
Okay. Thanks so much.
So you just heard our interview over at the Rose Garden or the Rose Society Gardens in Shreveport, Louisiana. That interview, as well as our upcoming interview, not only are there from our Big Blend Radio Vault and our Love Your Parks tour, but we also shared these interviews with our friends over at Rose Chat. So I encourage you to check them out. Type in Rose Chat. It's a fantastic podcast all about roses. We are standing under the world's largest rose tree, and I believe it is a Lady Banksia rose tree, and we're going to learn more because we have Dorothy DeVere, who's the owner of the museum here, as well as the rose tree. Dorothy, it's good to have you on with us.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Nancy, it is really nice and shady here, being in Tombstone in the summer.
Well, I have never seen a rose tree like this. Look at the branches of trunk. It's all interwoven. It's huge. And you said, Dorothy, how large is this rose tree?
It covers over 9,000 square feet. And it's supported by iron trellises and wooden poles. And the trunk is about 16 feet in circumference, round.
Wow. And we are... You've got a museum on the site as well, but it actually was a home, right?
Exactly. Yes, it was a home until 1964. From 1916, actually, it was a boarding house, but the family grew up here. And then eventually the boarders disappeared with the loss of the county seat. That was the big thing because of our proximity to the courthouse. The people would come for court hearings and so forth, and they would stay here. It was called the Cochise House in those days.
Now, I've got to tell listeners for Rose Chat Radio, we're not getting shot. This is not a drive-by shooting.
And it's not 4th of July.
We are in Tombstone, and they do have gunfights. Is that what? Those are the gunfights.
Those are the gunfights on the street, cool. Yes. That's
so
for sure.
We've got roses and pistols here. So this being a house, let's talk about how the rose tree actually got here.
Well, in 1885, a woman by the name of Amelia Adamson owned the Cochise House. And one of her boarders was a lady named Mary G., who had married the superintendent of the Old Guard Mine. He had been in London buying turbines for the mine, and they met, had a whirlwind romance, and he brought her here. And they were building a house, and while the house was being built, they lived here. And she and Amelia became good friends. And during this time, her family in Scotland sent her a trunk full of rose cuttings, other shrubberies, and so forth, and she gave this particular one to Amelia, and they planted it right here in this section of ground in 1885. And obviously, it found a good home.
Now, it also ended up on the world's Guinness, or the world's list of largest trees on the Guinness Book of Records?
Yes, it's in the Guinness Book of Records as the largest rose bush in the world. And the way we got the name, reason we changed the name from Cochise House to the rose tree is that Robert Ripley stayed here in 1938. And he was just so impressed with this rose bush. And he told my husband's grandmother that he just thought it was the biggest he'd ever seen. And so he wrote in his Believe It or Not column about the rose tree. And, of course, the grandparents thought, gee, we got an unusual rose bush here. And they changed the name of the boarding house to the Rose Tree Inn.
Wow. So we've got the Rose Tree Inn. Okay. And you've got the Ripley's Believe It or Not, the Guinness Book of Records. Now, I've got to ask, what about America's Rose Society? Have they recognized this rose?
Yes. We're in one of their books. We have a copy of it at in our little shop there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you about the upkeep of this huge tree. Does it take a lot?
It does now. Years ago, Tombstone did not have a sewer system. We all had septic tanks, and we had several septic systems here. And it's our belief that one of the reasons the tree did as well as it has done is that its roots were tapped in. In the 60s, everybody had to go on to the sewer system in town. But we still had two septic tanks in the far end of the yard. And the rose just kept going and going, and we never had to fertilize it. Never did anything to it except water it. All right, 3 years ago we had a horrible frost, which is unusual here. It went down to below zero. And it was very hard on the lady here, and after that we had to start feeding her, because she had no resource to go to. And so we fertilize now with a compound that's made up by our nursery in Tucson, and we put it on every single month.
What about watering? How often do you water?
In the summer, from May through September, we water twice a week. And we just flood it with the garden hoses, this whole area, underneath here. And we turn the hose on all night long, twice a week.
Okay, and then what about, do you have to prune it?
Oh, absolutely. We start pruning in February, and it usually takes about 6 weeks to cut out all the dead wood. And we do this every year, and we get truckloads full. It's just amazing. From standing here, you don't realize how thick it is and how far it goes out. And so we do that every year.
So you prune from the belly up?
Yes, underneath. And we my husband helps this. We have a helper. And the two of them get under here, and they wear safety glasses. And they usually end up with a stiff neck.
I can imagine. And can you give us when it blooms, which you say is usually spring, April,
yes,
for you, how many blossoms?
I would say millions, Nancy. Wow. Depending on the weather, again, we'll see the first blossoms come in March. And if we have a warm March, we'll have a lot of blossoms. But by mid-April, we have millions. When they start to fall, we use a snow shovel to shovel them up. Because it's just like walking in snow under here.
Wow.
Amazing. You also have a festival and a parade, don't you?
Yes, we do. Every April, we have a rose festival, and we have a parade, which is a great parade, and we usually have about 40, 45 entries, and we also, all the people in town use roses, and the one criteria of the parade entries is that you have to have roses. And we have horses, we have children. One of my favorites is a little old man who's dressed as an undertaker. He's pushing a wheelbarrow filled with roses, and his sign says, "Pushing up roses in Tombstone."
And that's it, everybody. That's the way to end an interview. Thank you, Rose Chat Radio, for airing this special edition from our Big Blend Spirit of America tour. We are here in Tombstone. We have visited Fort Bowie National Historic Site, the Chiricahua National Monument, and tomorrow we're going to Coronado National Memorial, which is, I believe, just an hour or so outside of Tombstone. So Tombstone has three national parks, and it has the world's largest rose tree and gunfights and saloons like Big Nose Kate's. So you got to come out and come and visit out here, everybody in Roseland. Thanks so much. And to keep up with the information on the parade, the Rose Festival Parade, you can go to the Tombstone Chamber of Commerce website.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.